Well, good morning. Cold out there, huh? I'm Pastor Chris. I'm delighted to be able to chat with you today. If you're joining us by stream, hello. If you're your first time with us, man, we are really glad that you are here. We're in a series called Shaped, Engaging God's Work in You. What is God doing at work in you? And today's not so much a message. Today is more your pastor wants to talk to you about a central piece to what we do and why we do it. And we've been working on this idea that this next 2 years, our whole goal is to become one equipped family. Even to the point that last fall, we had the incredible experience. It's continuing on. It's called Unfinished. And it was a giving initiative. But we also had a part of it, people had the opportunity to say, hey, God, how do you want me to serve or minister? And that's what all these cards represent back here. And so people had said, listen, I've prayed about this, I thought about it, and over 140 people said, I want to give this much more time every week to ministry. And so that's what each one of these cards represents. There's actually more cards than that. We just couldn't fit them all on there on one time. And so that is what we're doing. But here's my question for you today. Why? Why do we want to become one equipped family? Like, what are we actually trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? Like, are we going to get it to the end? We're like, we're one equipped family. Yippee! What are we trying to do? And maybe the bigger question this morning is, where do you fit? Where do you fit in all this? Does your card matter? Do you matter in terms of this family and where we're going, what we're trying to accomplish together? Those are two questions I want to ask today as we jump in and walk through this. In these cards, it's really cool. These cards represent, because we didn't ask people to sign up for a ministry, but we did have a spot where they could say, hey, this is what I'm interested in. And these cards represent everything from people who said, you know what, I want to pick up the bagels on Sunday morning, to I want to teach God's word, to I want to lead a life group, to I want to mow the lawn. I want to make sure the outside of the church looks good. There's a really wide range of things that this represents. How do all of those fit together? Are we just trying to make it so that we have a beautiful campus? What are we doing here? And so we're going to start with what Jesus was asked. He was asked, hey, what are the most important commandments in the Bible? What's the most important commandments? And when they asked that question, they weren't just asking about the Ten Commandments. They had like 600 of them. They're like, what's the most important ones? And this is what he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. So he made it clear, right? The rest of them you're not going to be able to do, or the rest of them are all encapsulated in these two things, love God and love people. Now, as I work down through these other passages that we're going to work through, I'm going to work through them fairly quickly. I really just want you to know about them. Don't think about what am I going to do about that or how does that apply to me. Just take in the information as we work our way through it. Then later in the New Testament, after Christ had given his life, he'd gone to heaven, they're writing about, okay, the church. What's the church about? And in Romans, it says this, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. And the next passage is actually, it's a marker passage in my life. It's oftentimes how I make decisions of what I'm going to do in the different situations I find myself in. When I'm like, okay, what? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What's my role here? This verse comes to mind, and it really rules or governs how I make my decisions. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it says this: let no debt remain outstanding. First of all, the Bible teaches as much as you can, get rid of debt. But if you do have debt, pay it off, get rid of it. Except the continuing debt. You see, I have a debt. There's something I owe. And I can keep paying on it, but it's continuing. I always owe this debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. You see, God has forgiven me, and He has poured so much love into me. He has loved me in so many different ways that I owe you and I owe this community my love. This is different than, okay, I'm supposed to love people, so I'm going to love people. This is different than, I want to be a good person, so I'm going to love people. This is different than, hey, we all should love each other. I'm going to love you and you love me. It's a one-way street. It's I owe you love. When I'm in this situation, when I find a situation, what am I going to do? Hey, I know what I'm here for. I owe that person love. Why? Because the amazing love that God has poured into me. Next, I'm going to jump to Ephesians, which is our foundational passage for this whole idea of shape. Shape is your spiritual gift, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. God is shaping all of that for you to be able to be involved in ministry. He actually gives each of us gifts, spiritual abilities, he works through us in these ways. And this is talked about in chapter 4. And it says this: so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip His people. Remember, we're talking about that. One equipped family for works of service or for ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And that's the question we're asking today. When it says that, when it says that the reason I'm here as a pastor, church leaders are here not to do the ministry, but to equip you to do the ministry, what is that? What's that about? Why are we doing this? And so that's the question we're asking today. What is ministry all about? If we are all shaped for ministry, what does that look like? So I'm going to, the rest of the passage kind of works its way through there. So I'm going to hit these four things. One, build up the body of Christ to know Jesus and live by His Spirit. The Bible says this: so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's so that we can know who Jesus really is, interact with Jesus, and then live by the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know what problems you have in your life, but I know this. Every time you live by the Spirit of God, you're full of love and joy and peace, and you bring that into other people's lives, regardless of your circumstances. It's an incredible thing, and we need each other to build each other up. So one of the things that ministry is all about is to build up the body of Christ. Number two, to be freed from the destructive lies of this world and to build our lives on life-giving fruit. So first is to build up, second is to be freed. Then you will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemings. The Bible teaches a very simple principle. The reason that people suffer is because of the lies we believe. It's very, very simple. It's super simple. in our marriages, you know why we struggle in our marriages? Because of the lies that we believe. That because we believe that, listen, if that other person would change, then we could have a marriage. Not, hey, if I were to be in love with Jesus and living by the Spirit, I can have joy in this situation. I can be in this situation. And so, to build up the body and to free us from the lies, in our congregation, man, we want your life to improve. How does that happen? It's when you take the lie and you trade it in for the truth, and you begin to build your life on the truth. So that's number two. Then number three is, again, so that we may know and live by the Spirit of Jesus. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. In other words, we grow up to love Jesus and to be able to live from His Spirit. And number four, an explosion of people giving their first and best out of love for Jesus so we can love each other and those around us. If you've ever experienced this, you're going to know what I'm talking about. If you've never experienced this, this is what Jesus is inviting you into. So I've been married for a very long time. I love this. I love when I love Lori because Jesus loves me. I love when I love Lori because I'm in love with Jesus. Now, I've done it both ways a lot. I've done it this way, and I've done it the other way. What's the other way? That's when I love Lori, so Lori will love me. That's when I love Lori, so I'll look good. That's a miserable existence. But when I love Lori because I love Jesus, there's no stopping me. The joy is amazing. It doesn't matter how she loves me back. The same thing is true when I love you because Jesus loves me. When I love you because I need you to change, when I love you so you'll change and I need you to change, woo, that's a miserable existence. But when I love you because I love Jesus, I don't need you to change. I can just love you. Well, here's the idea. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Wait a minute. Our love can grow in Christ and for each other, and we need every single one of us to be a part of it. You're part of this. You're part of the explosion of love that can happen in this community and around our community when you are equipped and do what? The works of service. When you do the ministry, people get loved. So we have a few people that I have invited to, they've kind of experienced this on some level or another, so I've asked them to come and be with us. Would you welcome Chantel, Jerry, and David? Now, I know it's the beginning of the year, right? I know it's the beginning of the year, so I'm going to excuse you for that. That was really a week. That was a week welcome. Would you please welcome? Okay, so I'm going to ask you actually the same question when we start off. Can you tell us a time when somebody from Skyline loved you?
So, good morning. I feel as though the minute I actually walked into Skyline, it was just pure love. And it wasn't, I feel like, until I joined Life Group, that's when I really saw the love at its finest. It was super close. We meet on once a week, but I can talk to these ladies every day. I can see when there's times where my faith was actually being tested, and there was times where I was like, what's my purpose? Is it even worth it? Am I still worth it? And it wasn't for my life group to show that love to me, and with prayer and just actions, acts of love and acts of service. And I can honestly say when my daughter had to undergo surgery, there was nobody else around, like the whole body of the church. I remember I was getting random messages from numbers I didn't even have saved in my phone. And I was like, who is this? And then it's someone from Skyline asking me, do I need something? Do you need prayer? Can I bring you something? Can I show you love? And I always love somebody's presence. So it's not even the words somebody says, just somebody actually coming in to check in. It just meant a lot. And it's, you know, it's actually seeing the fruit being at work and the love of God just awesome. Being shown to me.
Jerry, how about you?
Good morning, everybody. There's been so many opportunities that I've had to be on the receiving end of the love that has been shown to me here, and by extension, my family, big and small, none of which are least significant than another. From random text messages reaching out that I was on someone's mind and they just wanted to say, hi, and I'm thinking about you, and is there anything that I can be praying about for you, to deep and genuine embraces where you can feel the love that that person has for you when you hug them or shake their hands, to the extent that a few people have gotten together and decided to prepare meals for me and my family because they understand that with my wife's health condition, with chronic migraines, how debilitating it can be and how exhausting it can be, and understanding that rest is a priority in those situations. So dropping that food off, which was fantastic, by the way, got to mention that actually, to care packages during Christmas time with crafts and games so my family can play with it with each other and just share the love there also. It's been nothing short of incredible. Admonishing me when I've strayed from commitments that I've had and pulling me back into my life group, to spending time with some special individual on early Saturday mornings to help me walk with Christ a bit better and guide my steps. It's been pivotal and incredible. And
That's enough. So okay, great. David, how about you?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Simply put, I can remember a time where Falcon got up on this stage and he spoke some words that showed so much love to all of us. And it simply spoke to me, speak to your father, but also speak to your father for real. And after that day or that time on stage, I called my father for the first time. That love was so amazing that it bled right on to everything in my house. Improvement to my children, relationship with my children to their grandfather who they never met. I always remember that, always.
Wow. So David started, has already answered the second question, was how did it impact you? So you two, why don't you share, how did being loved impact you?
It impacted me because I have never felt a love like that before. It poured into me being a parent. It poured into my relationships outside of church, into my work life.
How did it impact you even spiritually? Like, how did you interact with God differently because of that?
So all that love fed a fire into my soul. It was like, if everyone could love like this, why can't I? And through all that love, it was finding my purpose. Maybe I am meant to do X, Y, and Z. And it just made me want to get more into the Word, made me want to do more things for out of the love of God, and yeah.
Cool. Jerry, how about you?
One way it's impacted me, or a couple ways I should say, is it stretched my capacity to love others by being loved on like that. And probably in the most pivotal way for myself is I've always struggled to allow others to love on me. I've always felt that I had to be the one to love others. And having those people do those unprompted acts of love and kindness, it allowed me to understand that I am also worthy of love. And having those people act as instruments for God's love and his love manifesting through them on me, it's helped me walk with him a bit differently so I can be a better vessel to carry that love and better understand his love so I can carry that on to other people as well.
Cool. David, do you have anything you want to add?
I'll add what it really spoke to me was you heard this voice saying, come to me, come speak to me. And that's what happened.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Take that with you. All right. What are we trying to do? What's this all about? What's One Equipped Family all about? So we have had this unfinished where we've done some things where we made commitments to resource being One Equipped Family. We've committed the next 2 years to becoming One Equipped Family. We are restructuring the way our church operates, who does what, whatnot, we're moving those things around. Why? So as your pastor, as your friend, I want to make this crystal clear. We do this for one reason. It's to love people and to love God. We are a church family that understands God has called us to do two things. Love Him and love people. That's what we do. We're not trying to build some organization or have services where it's so amazing that people are attracted to the services. We want to love people so they are genuinely loved. Why? That's how people step into or open their hearts to the possibility of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's what people need. It's the answer to their lives. So what we're really trying to do is help people who are walking on their own. They're alone. To coming to the place where they have an intimate, powerful, beautiful relationship with Jesus Christ. Where they go from, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die, to I know exactly what's going to happen to me when I die. I'm going to go to heaven with my Savior. That's what we are. That's what we're trying to do. That's why we're trying to do it. And this is how it works. It works super simple. Man, I hope you catch this. Not only is that what we're trying to do, you are critical tools. You are the ones to be equipped and to make this happen in people's lives. It starts like this. We authentically love people, and we are full of joy and humble sacrifice. This is important. People are not projects. We don't love people because they're a project. We don't love people because we need them to change. We love people because we're loved by God. We don't need them to change. We're just inviting them into this amazing change that Jesus has for them. So we authentically love people, full of joy and humble spirit. That's why we do the Easter egg hunt. That's why we take meals, and sometimes it's shoveling snow or building decks or moving people or praying or visiting in the hospital or watching their kids or painting a bathroom or even watching their dog. There's all these ways. If you are new to us, I have an ongoing thing about dogs. So it's little things. You heard the stories, right? Right? It's not huge things that first cause people to know they're loved. It's little things. It's little things you can be equipped to do. Then the second thing is you listen. It starts with authentic love. Then you listen. Love always includes listening. So many of you have been put in strategic positions to get to know people's dreams, personality, past, perspectives, their fears, their questions, and their need for Jesus. Katie Ebay has been a part of our church family for a very, very long time. And her sister-in-law, Khadija, has a few years ago began to through watching their family be interested in, hey, they've visited Skyline, started to become part of Skyline, and the conversations start happening, but something amazing happened for them, which is their two daughters ended up in the same, I think, gymnastics class. And so they had an hour every time that class met for them to walk together. And that gave the opportunity for Katie to listen and get to know Khadijah and be able to find out who she is. It opened the doors to be able to love her in a way that's very special. And to be able to then take the next step, which is to invite. Love always compels us to invite them to meet Jesus. If you truly love someone and you know Jesus, you're always compelled to invite them to know Jesus. It's the best thing that could possibly happen to them. And so maybe that starts with inviting them to an Easter egg hunt or a dog party or this growing in love breakfast we're going to have in a few weeks. But you begin to invite them to church to be able to be exposed to who Jesus is. Maybe you are able to personally walk them through the gospel and invite them to Jesus yourself. That's a part of the equipping process. And then you teach. Godly love is always grounded in the truth. It's not I love you and you leave it there. You always teach the truth. Why? Because if we stay in our lives, we don't get to experience the amazing love and joy and peace that Christ has for us. And then we share life together. We grow in love and by sharing our ups and downs and our sins and our victories with each other. Then now they've become part of the family and either in a life group or a ministry together. We actually share life together. You see, at Skyline, we don't need our lives to go great all the time. We don't have to be the most positive people on the face of the earth. We get to live the real life. Why? Because we're not alone. Because we love each other. So that when hard times come, we walk through those hard times together. That's who we are. That's what Christ wants to equip you for. Over the next 2 months, last couple months, our team has been working on making sure we try to get as trained as we can so that as we invite you into new ministries or invite you to expand your ministries, we're able to train you and equip you. And so that process is starting now. A couple things are going to happen in that process. One is, you will have met with God and you will put those hours on that card and those hours won't be here now. You'll be like, I don't have time. I want to encourage you. Follow through on your commitment. Become equipped. Step into the ministry. And then when you step into the ministry, you're going to find out, wow, this is hard. Especially if you stepped into children's ministry. You're going to find out this takes some doing. Don't quit. Don't quit. See, Jesus loves you. He will empower you. His Spirit will fill you. You will discover you actually are gifted. You'll discover you actually are shaped. One of the most beautiful things that's going to happen to you is this. You will get done with a Sunday morning, and you'll be like, I don't think I made any difference at all. And the rest of us will come up around you and be able to go, thank you for what you said today. Thank you for the way you loved that kid today. Thank you for what you did. You are changing people's lives. Because most of the time when you love people, you have no idea you're impacting their life the way you are. It's something God's doing in their life. Don't give up. Step into being equipped. It can't get any better, guys. It cannot get any better than giving your life to love God and love people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for our church, for these faces right here in front of me, for those who are joining us in the stream. Thank you. But Lord, I feel like we've kind of just touched the tip of the iceberg in terms of what can happen if we become one equipped family and we buy in, we say yes to you. Jesus, I love you. I won't give my life for you. And Jesus, it's true. I owe this community my love. The Skyline community and then our community all around us, I owe it our love. Lord, I pray for you to seal the commitment and the conviction that you're working in people's hearts right now. Help them to say yes to you and not turn back. In your name we pray. Amen.